Welcome back, Rundown Nation. I'm not sure how many of you caught the intro episode I did by myself. I legged through it. I tried to dust off the cobwebs, but man, it's rough without Woj this year. So you know what I had to do, Rundown Nation? I had to go and get Mr. Michael Story. He's going to be joining the program and likely joining the program throughout the year. Is that not correct, Mr. Story?
I'm going to be on as much as I can. Mr. Wall, it's been too long. It's been off season. We are back in the swing of things. We had our home league fantasy draft earlier this week. How did your team turn out?
Oh, man. I had to drop my own odds. I'm not going to lie. I had to drop my own odds to win the championship in that league because my draft did not turn out too well. I didn't notice yours specifically. It seemed like you had a decent one, though.
Yeah, I went with some guys that I think could take the starting job. Now, inevitably, my third or fourth round pick is going to be hurt for the season or was going to lose the job. And so it's all about in-season management with season-long fantasy. But we'll talk some DFS. I know the people do like their DFS, and without Woj, we're going to have to keep that going, though, right?
Absolutely. You know, week zero is not a big time for DFS, so we probably won't jump into it a ton this week with just a couple of games since you can't really get a full slate anyways, but definitely throughout the season, especially, I mean, maybe you could talk it a little better than me because you do tend to school everyone else in DFS as far as the league goes.
I mean, Woj is certainly right up there, as is what's our guy? He's won the league in the past.
Walrus, yeah, our man Walrus, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But we'll definitely keep it going. I mean, for now, week zero, though, there's a lot of weird stuff that happens in week zero. We've got games. My God, we're 72 hours away from football. Not even. I think we're 66 away.
I don't know what down to the hours. I know it's down just a couple of days, but it's a very exciting time. I mean, it's Christmas time for me. The season's about to start. We'll go through a little bit of housekeeping here. As the old man, my buddy Woj, used to say, we'll go through some housekeeping here. Again, he will not be joining this season as a co-host, but I'm hoping to get him in for a couple episodes. Mr. Story will be stepping in here a lot. And we also got some guests that we're likely going to line up for you guys. We're going to do a new segment this year, which I'm really excited about. We're going to start it today. It's going to be called Story Time. I hope you like that name, Story. I had to pick it out specifically.
I saw in the show sheet yesterday, and I'm like, that's perfect. You've been actually spot on. You named my fantasy team this year with just a perfect name. You know how I like to do it. I like to name my name after one of my players. So you hit that, and then Story Time. I love it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. It's going to be a great segment. I'm looking forward to that every week that you're on. Just a reminder that our episodes are going to drop late Wednesday night for those of you that are up late Wednesday nights or Thursday a.m., so you'll get that for your Thursday morning drive to work. I know that makes the Rundown Nation excited. If you want to catch more of our content, you can go to collegefootballrundown.com. The best way to reach out to us is through one of our socials, probably. We do have Twitter, X as it's called now, WWCFB. That's at WWCFB. Instagram, man, what a fantastic job our social media team does over there on Instagram. It's at college_football_rundown. Pretty easy to remember. And I highly suggest you guys check that out. If you want to get in contact with me real quick, Discord's probably the best place. You can get a link for that in the show notes. Real easy to sign up an account. You could talk to me real quick. But I did want to ask you, Story, are you a follower on Instagram? I know we have like thousands of them.
Of course. It's not my main platform because I'm an old guy. So for me, it's Facebook and to a lesser extent, X. But, you know, I get it that Instagram is where the audience is. You got to go there. Whomever you brought in for social media last year, they're doing an outstanding job. So tell them, keep it up. The content over there is great.
Yeah, I will tell them. We got to keep it down a little bit, though, because I don't want any pay raises. I don't want any arguments over the wage labor there. But I want to say that I'm excited for this season. I'm excited for our new format. We got some new jingle. I don't know if you guys heard it or noticed at the beginning here of the podcast. We got a new jingle. We're going to get a new logo. Obviously, we're switching things up. We're getting a little more hip with the times. You mentioned you're getting old. It took me a long time to start calling Twitter X, but I think I finally got it now. It's two episodes in a row where I call it X, so I'm excited about that. But I guess there's no need to really keep shooting the shit too much. Let's just jump right into the games, Mr. Story. I'm guessing you're looking forward to that one in Dublin, Ireland, no?
Well, this is not the first game in Dublin, though, is it? I mean, the first game in Ireland for the NFL is happening this year, but this isn't the first game by a long stretch for college football, no?
No, it's not. They had that Shamrock series they've been doing for a few years now where it's been Notre Dame a couple times, Navy, I believe it was last year. But no, it's not the first game that they're going, you know, across the pond to play in. But nonetheless, it's still an exciting atmosphere. You're not only just we got random teams playing, we got Farmageddon. I don't know if you're familiar with Farmageddon, but that's the name of this rivalry series, and they really go crazy for it.
I mean, Kansas. It makes sense, right? Iowa and Kansas, Farmageddon, that makes sense.
Iowa State, Kansas State. I mean, they do tractor parades, Mr. Story. I don't know if they're going to do them out there in Dublin. Maybe they will, because I know Dublin is somewhat of an agricultural community. I haven't been out there personally myself, but the real Jay-Z, a mutual friend of ours, has been out there a number of times. I get my information from him, but it's going to be an exciting time. Farmageddon is going to be a great game as it stands right now in this one. The Wildcats, Kansas State, they are about 3-point favorites. I can give you the exact spread right here. Yeah, still sitting at that three number. At -110, -110, so not shaded anyway. It's basically a field goal game right now. I don't expect that to change any that much. Avery Johnson, I mean, we're not going to talk a whole lot of DFS, but if you want to get somebody for DFS this week on your roster that's going to perform, Avery Johnson, the quarterback over there on Kansas State, I think he's going to do well. Threw for 25 touchdowns last year, added 700 plus rushing yards, which we've kind of come to expect out of a Kansas State quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be running that much this year. Maybe he will be, maybe he won't. Teams are going to be eyeing in on him, especially that Iowa State defense. I'm not sure if you got a horse in this race or not, Mr. Story.
No, I've got a pick in this, but I don't particularly have a lean one way or the other on which team I like. Now, I know you do, and we'll certainly get to that. But when it comes to Avery Johnson, you're absolutely right. He's one of the top fantasy quarterbacks this year in season long and best ball, being drafted all over the place because of his dual threat ability. Keep in mind, Kansas State is returning six starters from their offense this year. They were the nation's 46th ranked scoring offense last year. And that Avery Johnson rushing upside is just incredible. I think they're going to be better. I think we're looking at a top 25 offense this year. You've got new coordinator Matt Wells. He takes over for Connor Riley, which was just a disaster there. This should be, I think they're going to have a step in the right direction when it comes to the passing game. This to me, I love, you know me, I like points. I like offense. I'm loving what Kansas State is doing this year. I also like what Iowa State did on the offensive side of the ball. Now they lost a couple of the receivers to the draft, both of whom went to Houston in the draft, including standout Jaden Higgins. They replaced him with two key transfers, Xavier Townsend from UCF and Chase Sowell from East Carolina. Chase Sowell, if you don't know that name, very good player last year, 6'4", downfield weapon. He's going to attempt to replace the production of Jaden Higgins. He's going to need to clean up an issue with drops, but can he do that? I think so. And then we're looking at an offense for Iowa State that, while mostly neutral last year and pass rate over expected, should take a step forward as well.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, Rocco back. The problem I have here, Story, is this is the first game of the season. We got new fans, we got new listeners. So I gotta be impartial. You know, we're talking about these two teams. I'm normally not impartial on this, my friend. I'm giving you my opinion, and I'm not being nice to Iowa State, but I'm trying my best here. You know, I got my hands tied behind my back, just trying to hold back. I'll say one good thing, Rocco backed. I'll say two good things actually. Rocco Beck is a great quarterback. He did very well last year. I expect nothing but good things out of him. But more importantly, and I talked about this last year and the year before, you're traveling to Dublin, Ireland. These are college athletes. They are not professional athletes. A coach is key in a game like this. He has to have them prepared. He has to filter out those distractions. And the second good thing that I'll say about Iowa State before I bite my tongue, Campbell is a very good coach. He's done well with that program since he signed on. For that reason, if you do like Iowa State, I don't mind you taking them in this one.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I know that somebody's got to be the voice of reason now that Woj is no longer on the podcast as a second host. But I mean, don't forget, Kansas State also has Dylan Edwards, outstanding running back there. I think that rushing attack, the passing, the dual threat ability of Avery Johnson, I think they're going to be too much for Iowa State. And I'm going to go ahead and put the first one out there. I'm going to take Kansas State against the spread this week.
Oh, okay. So you're going to give up that field goal on them and go against the Cyclones, huh?
I get it. It's not technically a home game because we're talking neutral field, but for me, that 3 points, I think that's closer to one if we were talking somewhere in Iowa.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And then I did do a disservice. I didn't mention the total, which I should have. We got a total sitting at 49 and a half right now to 50 and a half, depending what book you're looking at. Do you see anything on that? Because I personally, first game of the season, man. I don't want to touch that really with these two teams.
No, wonky things happen in week zero. Heck, wonky things happen in week one in virtually every sport. So it's with this one when I can see this going both ways when it comes to the over or the under. Don't forget that Kansas State has a really aggressive defense and they can get to the quarterback. They make some plays in the backfield. So if they can kind of bottle up that rushing game for Iowa State, force some mistakes from the quarterback, it could get nasty early and it might just squeak under. At the same time, this one could fly over. So I'm going to stay off of that. I'm going to go with the spread.
Yeah, I like your opinion, and I agree with your opinion on that total. I'm just staying away from it. I don't see a reason for it this early in the season. Week zero, hey, let's not get too crazy. We want to jump into the water a
It's a
little bit, though.
long season, Walt.
It is a long season. We got to keep that pocketbook for a little bit, anyways. But we could jump on to the next one. Speaking of betting, we got another game here in Vegas. Yes, they're playing college football in Vegas, and you can bet on it. Idaho State at UNLV. We got right now a spread I'm looking at of 26.5. UNLV, obviously the
26.5.
favorite. Yeah, 26.5. I mean, you're talking Idaho State, who's not an FBS team. So, you're not playing a division, the same division game, which obviously attributes that huge spread. We do have an over-under on this one of 65.5, which from that spread you can gather UNLV is expected to get a buttload of those points, Mr. Story.
Yeah, this one is interesting. As you mentioned, Idaho State, not exactly a perennial powerhouse in college football. They are bringing back Jordan Cook. Now, he did redshirt last year, so he got an extra year of eligibility. He threw for about 2,500 yards in 2023, and they were the number one passing offense in FCS that season. So don't sleep on the offense here for Idaho State. At the same time, I mean, UNLV, it's a step up in competition, but Dan Mullen is taking over that Rebel squad. They were 11-3 last year, including 6-1 in the Mountain West Conference. They had a spot in the Mountain West title game. They did fall short against Boise State, only putting up 7 points against the Broncos 21. So I think that UNLV is going to try to run it back this year with a very similar looking offense. And this should be, I don't know, that spread is weird. 26.5, like right just under that, I guess, quote unquote, key number of 27, but definitely over the 24, which would be three touchdowns and a field goal. I don't know. This is probably, let's wait and see. Let's take a step back and let's see what happens with both these squads.
Yeah, I don't watch a lot of FCS. I wish we talked about it more in the program, but I'm not knowledgeable enough to talk about it myself. So that's why I kind of avoid it when we're talking about games week in and week out. But we got, this week we just got the five games playing. So we got to talk about every one of them. We got to fit them all in. One thing I'll say about the Big Sky Conference, which is where Idaho State hails from, that's the same conference as Portland State. I don't know if you remember them from 2 years ago. Portland State, actually, they play this year too. Portland State played Oregon. It was the game where we were watching opening day at your house. And at one point, I don't know how early it was in the game, but we're like, these guys are going to score 100. I don't know if you recall that or not. It
I
was an
don't
opening
remember
day.
that, but Portland State, huh?
Portland State. They're from the same conference. So that's the thing I can tell you about Idaho State. One of the few things that I can tell you anyways, because again, I don't watch them a lot. I know that the UNLV offense, I think they're going to do well. Orji, though, I don't. Coming from Michigan, whether he's going to start or not, I don't know. But I don't know about that quarterback because I did watch Orji play quite a bit last year, and he didn't have what it takes to definitely play at Michigan.
Not
Definitely
in the Big
play.
Ten, that's for sure. I mean,
No.
the kid's got legs, right? He's definitely a dual threat quarterback. We had talked about another one earlier in the podcast. He's got legs, but in terms of accuracy, downfield throwing, he's got an arm too. But I don't know that he has what it takes to be a national championship contender, which is what they're looking for at Michigan.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you a lot, I guess. Too much, I guess. But you said it. You got the nail on the head, my friend. He's just not a Big Ten quarterback. So maybe he does well at UNLV, especially with that point you brought up about Mullen being over there now. That'll definitely help the cause. We know that Mullen can coach up some players. So I guess that's two in a row now that I'm going to sit out. You put some money on the line for one. You got to respect that. I'm going two in a row. I'm not doing anything. The fans aren't going to be happy with me. But hey, I'm not going to make a pick unless I see something. I don't see anything in this game, Mr. Story.
No, that's fair. Who do you think is going to start there, though, at for UNLV? I mean, that they certainly do have a controversy, but I think the hubbub is that they're going to start both guys. I think they're going to start both. Correct me if I'm pronouncing this incorrectly, but Anthony Colandrea is the other guy, and then Alex Orji. I think that both of them are set to play this week.
Yeah, I think they're going to do that, which I hate. I think it's the worst thing in the world because you don't give confidence to your quarterbacks. But let's see who does better type situation that we've seen out of Ohio State once or twice going back some years. And we've seen out of Michigan now a couple of times. It's the bigger programs generally don't do it. Alabama's done it once or twice, but I don't like that philosophy. I think Orji is going to get the start personally. Colandrea is from Virginia, I believe. I don't think that he's going to have the quote unquote experience that Orji does. Orji's played in those big games. Just if you're gonna talk about the actual starter, who's getting the first snaps, I think it'll be Orji. But like you said, they're both gonna play, they're gonna shake it out and figure out which one's better.
I guess they're going on the Tim Tebow, Chris Leak route. Might as well just throw it on the over and forget about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, people rip on Tim Tebow. He was a fantastic quarterback back though, but Chris Leak just had a much better arm than him when Tebow started out anyways. But I digress. I got too far off track. You got me off track. You did it. You did it. Congratulations, Mr. Story. Let's jump on to the next game before I get too much farther off track. We got Fresno State at Kansas. It's a barn burner, baby. 5:30 p.m. It's a total of 50 and a half. Not really a huge barn burner, but Kansas is expected to do a number on Fresno State, which is surprising because Fresno State is not a rollover team. They are not an Idaho State. They're a team that comes to play every game. That total of 50 and a half is kind of enticing to me. I think it might go a little bit over. I don't know that I'm going to put my first pick down, but it's somewhat enticing to me.
Yeah, well, don't forget that this is the first year that the Jayhawks will be playing in the new stadium. I think Kansas Memorial Stadium. I think it's named after somebody there. I can't remember who that is exactly. But last year they were bouncing around from soccer fields and NFL stadiums, et cetera. So this will be exciting. It makes sense why they were slotted in at that 5:30 near prime time. Kansas has a pretty nasty defense. I think I'm going to disagree with you. Well, I think I'm going to lean under on this one. It's still sitting at 50 and a half. Is that what you see?
Yeah, I'll give you the exact line since we're going at it. I got to give you the exact line. 50 and a half is what I had it at earlier. I'll give you the line. I'll quote you the line from DraftKings. It's still sitting at 50 and a half, shaded a little bit to the over at -112, but basically 50 and a half.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Jayhawks history under Lance Leopold, he's never eager to jump into a track meet, right? They averaged 28.8 seconds per play last season at 117, number 117 in the nation. They generated only 64.6 plays per game, which was numbered 109. So they like to keep it on the ground. They like to slow the game down. They've got a pretty nasty defense. They're going to really harass what is a shuffled around, really inexperienced Bulldogs offensive line. So for me, yeah, I'm not going to bet it because I don't really want to bet unders this early in the season, but I would lean under on this one right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, you're convincing me. If I'm gonna agree with your opinion, what I'll say is that we got that. By the way, it was David Booth. I had to look it up. I didn't know off the top of my head, but David Booth. I just had, and I happen to know him through
Thank you. Okay.
my job. But yeah, it's named after him. The thing that I'll agree with you as far as the under, if you're talking about that Boise, or I'm sorry, Fresno State side of the ball on their offense, they have only three returners with one catch last season. Three returners. I mean, you got to have experience at that wide receiver position. You got to know receivers that can run their routes, are familiar with the offense. I just don't think that Fresno State has that. So that is the one thing that I will agree with you on as far as maybe taking the under, but I don't know. Is Jalen Daniels still the quarterback over there at Kansas?
No, I that's a good question.
It was rhetorical. It was
Oh, okay.
rhetorical. You know he is.
Well, he's
I apologize for putting you on the spot over there. That's my mistake. You,
is it
if
well,
you,
is it Jalen Daniels or is it Cole Ballard?
I thought it was Jalen Daniels. He didn't go to the NFL draft, did
Okay.
he?
I don't know. He did not. I thought that Cole Ballard might have taken over that job this year, but I could be wrong.
Whoa. Well, that changes everything because, I mean, you take away 2,400 yards of passing last year, 14 touchdowns, 439 yards rushing on the ground. Mr. Jalen Daniels, I think, is a fantastic quarterback. Whether he's starting or not, I guess he could have got, outdone in spring camp and, fall ball. But if he does start, he's an athlete on the field. I like Kansas for that. And that's the main reason, actually, why I did go with the over in this one, or would potentially go with the over in this one. I really don't like that hook at 50 and a half because you know exactly what's going to happen if I take the over at 50 and a half, right?
Oh, I'm well aware of it. I've seen games where it's flying to the over, and then 10 minutes left in the third quarter, the next thing you know, it's 2 minutes to go, and you're on your knees hoping that they can just kick a field goal when they're up by 17.
Absolutely. And then the game ends 24 to 26 and it's a 50-point game and you don't hit the over. That's just how it goes in those. But I don't know. You've kind of convinced me to shade away. Now we're talking three straight games and I haven't put in any money on the line, Mr. Story. This is amazing. Although you did
Well,
just talk me out of something. So.
I do want to clarify. You're 100% correct that Jalen Daniels is a starter. I thought I had read a report that there was a competition in camp, but I think that was just an injury scare. But it wasn't actually an injury. He was just sitting out for rest purposes. So I might have built up something in my head. This is definitely Jalen Daniels' quarterback job.
Yeah. Well, I just know that you guys worshiped him last year. You guys, and I didn't, I wasn't the same way. This year he's got me sold a little bit after his performance last year. This year he's got me sold. I'll tell you that much. But I know you guys respected him a lot as far as our fantasy football league because everyone in the league spoke highly of him. But I guess we should jump on.
I
That's not
mean,
the only game of the day. We
yeah.
have a go ahead.
Well, only a 57% completion rate last year, but 439 rushing yards over with at only 93 rushing attempts. That's a pretty good average. That's what really moves the needle in fantasy football.
Absolutely, and it, you combine that with 2,400 yards passing. That's a good quarterback, my friend. That's a good quarterback. I will jump on to the next game. It's on CBS Sports Network at 6 p.m. Not the biggest game of the day. Probably won't have a ton to say about it myself. We got Sam Houston at Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky is the no doubt favorite in this one. I'll give the exact line right now. It's -10.5. We got an over under of 61.5. So just a couple points, a little about just about a field goal shy of that Idaho State UNLV game, which is the highest over under on the week. As far as Sam Houston, Western Kentucky, you know, I'm not taking either one of those teams because I don't really watch them a whole lot. I wish I could watch the Hilltoppers, but they're just usually not on TV for me. So.
You should probably start tuning in if you like offensive playing, right? The Hilltoppers went 8-6 last year, which isn't great, but bear in mind that was tied for second in Conference USA standing. So they did lose their opening day against Alabama last year, 6-3-0, but they bounced back by winning 7 of their next 8 games. So they have a pretty middle of the road schedule for Conference USA this year, but they always seem to start strong and then kind of fade down the stretch. So I'm wondering if you're going to see that as well this year with the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers.
I don't know. I'll leave that one to you, my friend. Are you thinking you're going to put any money on? I know you said they're exciting to watch, but you think you're actually going to put any money on them?
I don't think so. I mean, an air raid offense, that's always exciting, right? That's the offense that they run. Sam Houston, though, new head coach. I mean, with all the new coaches, offensive coordinators, head coaches, it's almost like there's a transfer portal for coaches this year, feels like. But yeah, they scored what, 24 points per game last year, which isn't that great. 99th, 100th in the country, something like that. They also allowed 20.5 points in the game. So it makes sense that Western Kentucky is a 10-point favorite in that. But that 61.5 is a that's a lot. It's a lot for week zero. It's a lot in general. It is a conference game, though. I mean, I do think that there's upside with Sam Houston. They are the Bearcats. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? The Bearcats, but with a K.
Yeah, that weird spelling. I know him from basketball, actually. I don't know him so much from football.
Yeah, I mean, they did lose their top receiver last year, but their quarterback, Hunter Watson, is back. They've got some upside on the offensive side of the ball, especially early in the season. So I don't necessarily trust Western Kentucky's defense. They did have to sling it around quite a bit last year, just due to the nature of their defense. So I would lean towards taking the dog if you can get the double digits, if you can get it at 10. If it drops to 9.5, I'd probably stay away altogether.
See, I love it. That's why we have you on this program, Mr. Story, because I can't give the fans anything, but you're coming through with the knowledge on Sam Houston at Western Kentucky. I love it. I will watch Western Kentucky on your opinion, although you'll be controlling the remote probably. We're watching anyway, so I won't have a choice. But Western Kentucky is noted on my list. I want to jump on to the next game. We got Stanford at Hawaii, and I have to double check this time because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I have 6:30 Central Time, which is our time, but the game is at Hawaii, so that would be like 1:30 in the morning in Hawaii. I don't know. Maybe you could check it while I'm running through the information. I perhaps could have wrote that wrong. I don't know. It just doesn't make
Yeah,
sense
let
in
me
my
look
head.
that up. That seems like it's early for a Hawaii game, right?
Extremely. I mean, that would be 1:30 in the morning if it's sixth or that would be extremely early. But I'll tell you the spread in this one. I do
Six
know
thirty.
that.
Yeah.
It so that's like a 1:30 game then, and 1:30 in the morning game.
Interesting.
That's crazy. So these college athletes are going to be playing, at 1 in the morning. Their game is going to be starting.
6:30 Central. Huh.
We should have done. I should have done more research myself on that one. Again, I don't have a pick in this one, and I wasn't ever going to bet the Stanford at Hawaii. I don't like to bet these Hawaii games anymore. I used to, but I don't really bet them anymore. There's too much randomness to them with that flight. That's a tough flight for these athletes.
It's a lot. I mean, it's now Hawaii has always been a perennial offensive powerhouse, right? Like they've always put up points. The big question is, do Offenses travel better or defenses when you're talking about having to fly from, I mean, Stanford is not that far away. You're talking California to Hawaii, but when you're talking flying overseas like that, technically overseas, which holds up better, the offenses or the defenses, do you think?
Well, I think to start the game, it's just like anything else. It's tougher for the defense to get a start on the game. But as far as when it actually gets down and into it, I don't think there's really any difference. I mean, I just don't think the players are coached up so well. The technology that they have to get them prepared for stuff, the habits that they have nutritionists, they have, sleep probably. Yeah, professionals that come with them to deal with that kind of stuff. So these days and ages, I just don't think there's a difference. Although at the beginning of the game, I think it's much harder for the defense to settle in, but that's only the beginning of the game.
Yeah, I mean Stanford is they're not winning any national titles in anytime soon, but they're a strong program and they have been for many years. They are going to be strong up front. Hawaii has issues with turnovers, they have issues with penalties. So you've got a new quarterback who was in the Pac-12. Believe it or not, the Pac-12 is still around. The Pac-12 Oregon State transfer, Ben Gulbranson. Now, I wish we had Wojan to announce Mr. Gulbranson there. Pretty good year last year, 62% completion rate, 2,600 yards, 15 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. I think we could see even more from him working with a coach that has experience playing and coaching in the NFL. You got Micah Alejandro at quarterback for Hawaii. He kind of brought a spark to the offense late last season. And the big question though is whether their offensive line can stand up to that front seven of Stanford. I think it's going to be tough to do. So I think Hawaii needs to be perfect here, but there's no margin for error on them. So I would go with, even though Hawaii's the favorite, I think Stanford wins this and won outright. I'm probably going to take the points and sprinkle a little bit on the money line.
Yeah, I think I would take that same bet too. If it wasn't in Hawaii, the only thing that keeps me away from it is that Hawaii aspect. I don't like to make that bet anymore, but I understand the points that you are making. Alejandro is a fantastic quarterback. He actually Bishop Gorman was the coach that was coaching him before. I think he's going to do well, especially at home. You got that opening day where you're always expected to do well. You kind of give a little bit more because you're coming out of the gates. You want to prove yourself. So I think that Alejandro will do well. Stanford's run game, obviously very important. It's been important since, oh my gosh, they crushed us, Iowa, that is, in the bowl game, the Rose Bowl game. That brings back really bad memories with the running back. I can't even think of his name from Stanford. He plays in the NFL now. You would know him, but
That 45-16 affair, if I
we
remember
don't need to
correctly.
worry about the score, Mr.
Mr.
Story.
Christian McCaffrey.
McCaffrey, yeah,
Yeah.
McCaffrey. Ever since, even before that, though, really, they've always had a rushing offense, but McCaffrey really blew up Stanford and made them into a rushing offense. So I think that Stanford's run game is going to be huge, whether they can come through, control the game, control the clock. If they do, I mean, that field goal is nothing. They'll win by a touchdown. So I don't mind your bet. Maybe I'll take it. We'll do a mock pick'em here at the end of the episode. Maybe that's the one I'll take because I'm having trouble finding one in this slate.
Yeah, a warm up, if you will.
Oh, warm up. We always do that warm up. You know that. You listen to the program for a long time,
Absolutely,
but
100%.
that actually rounds out. We just had those 5 games. Week zero again. Week one starts next week, where it'll be the full slate of games. We have a lot more to talk about then. We got some real exciting matchups. That Texas Ohio State game, man, that's going to be fantastic. But
Yeah,
until then,
stay
we.
tuned to that. We have been
Oh.
kind of chit-chatting about that amongst our group because I was looking through the schedule. There was not a whole lot of top 25s playing besides those two teams. I think I scanned through and I saw one other top 25 matchup, maybe. Other than
Yeah.
that, yeah, LSU and Clemson. Yeah, LSU and Clemson. They got the primetime slot, 6:30 on Saturday, August 30th. Other than that, that Texas Ohio State game, it's going to be an all-out brawl out there.
It is. I mean, you got the two top contenders for the national championship, both at plus 550 right now to win the national championship. It's going to be a good game. But you know what I've been waiting this whole episode for, Mr. Story? You know what I've
What's
been waiting
that?
for? I've been waiting for story time,
Story
betting school,
time.
baby. And you know what? The fans don't know this, but I have no idea what you're going to talk about. So I'm extremely excited to hear what you have to say. I'm just going to sit back and listen. What do you got for the fans today? What are you going to be teaching us about
Well,
betting?
school's in session, folks. Listen up. Betting school is in session. So, since we are going to be talking about some futures bets here in a little bit on this podcast, I thought now would be a good time to give some basics, and we'll go through some basics on betting in general, what types of bets to make, in addition to betting strategies and all sorts of stuff. But for today, let's talk about what a futures bet is, because that's probably what most people are making bets on right now. I mean, most people are probably not degenerates like us and betting on Sam Houston State in Western Kentucky. They're probably looking at, oh, who's going to win the national championship or who's going to win this conference, the Big Ten conference, whatever it is. So for those who don't know, a futures bet is simply a wager on an event, a series, an award, something along those lines that's going to finish sometime in the future. It's different than betting on the outcome of a single game, for example, but it's pretty popular. I would say single games obviously still dominating, but futures bets becoming more and more popular. Basically, you're placing your wager on the outcome of something. In the case that we'll be talking about, it'd be the outcome of who's going to win the national championship for college football this year. As the name implies, a futures bet takes place sometime in the future. So you're not going to bet on a futures bet that's going to realistically close. Well, it certainly won't close the same day, even the same week, the same month. A lot of times you're betting futures bets many weeks, many months down the road. You can also, believe it or not, you can parlay super certain futures bets. If you want to parlay who's going to win the ACC conference, plus who's going to win the Big Ten conference, plus who's going to win the SEC. I wouldn't recommend that unless you have a little funny money, you want to play around a little bit. But you can do that. In general, though, you're going to be looking at a certain team, a certain conference, whatever it is, and trying to pick who you think is going to win. This is also a good way to bet on an outcome of a series of games. Say you really like the Stanford Cardinal this year. You think that defensive front seven is going to be very good. They're going to actually steamroll some opponents. But you don't want to go through the hassle of trying to figure out each game, handicapping each individual game down to the weather and all that kind of stuff. Well, you can bet on the Stanford outcome, whether that's the number of games they're going to win this year, whether they're going to win the conference, what, depending on the book, you might be able to even bet on what position they're going to come in the conference. Most times when you look at futures, you're going to see plus money odds. Now, plus money odds basically means that when it comes to odds on when it comes to odds on situations like this, on futures bets, you're looking at the chance something will happen. Futures odds aren't necessarily a perfect prediction of what will happen, but it's based on a book's expectation of what will happen plus their juice built in. So just looking at the national championship, we'll get to that in a second, but looking at Texas, the top team, plus 550. What that basically means is that plus 550 is the amount that you'll get back based on your wager. So if you're betting Texas to win the national championship and you put $100 down, that plus money odds mean you'll be getting $550 back for your wet. That's opposed to, say, a minus 200 bet where you have to put 200 down, you have to lay 200 to win $100 bet. You'll often see long odds on futures bets when you're looking at something like the White Sox to win the World Series at the beginning of the year, which is a very unlikely event. You're probably going to get something like plus 8,000, plus 10,000 odds. And just because the odds are better or bigger, it doesn't mean that the bet is that much better. How do you place futures bets? That's a very good question. There's a lot of ways to do it. One of my favorite ways to do it was before the advent of mobile sports betting around the country, going to Las Vegas and actually going to a sports book and getting those sheets that they print out every day that have the futures bets for various types of sports. You could be betting on NASCAR futures and golf futures. Who's going to win the PGA championship or something along those lines? Basketball, college basketball, obviously football, that's what we're talking about. Baseball, all sorts of things. But you're kind of limited to, when it came to, say, the NFL, you're limited to Super Bowl, AFC championship, and NFC championship. Now, with the advent of sports betting around the country, here in Illinois, we've got 10 sports books. And while you can't bet on futures for Illinois college teams, you can certainly bet on many more futures markets than you could prior to this being the explosion of sports betting across the states. So all in all, there's a lot that goes into sports or to futures bets. You can spend time, and in fact, we've done series on this podcast in the past where we've kind of predicted who we think is going to win each conference. And there's lots of opportunities to make money on sports. You got to be smart about it, right? You could get lost into it. And you look at, okay, well, I got Texas. Oh, I better hedge that with Ohio State, but Penn State's right there, and Georgia and Clemson. You get lost, and all of a sudden, you're cutting into whatever profit you would be making by betting multiple teams over and over again. So I like to look at it is it's a good way for me to get in some season-long action to kind of put all this knowledge and research and everything that we've been working on over the summer into practice before we actually get to the games, which is a whole different study when it comes to handicapping. So that's going to wrap up talk of futures bet. I'm sure that people have questions. while they're very simple on the surface, you can get a lot into detail and depth and that kind of thing. So you've got ways to contact the podcast, right? Well, where people can send their questions in. I'm sure we can talk about those at the start of betting school next week.
Absolutely. If somebody has a question, that's the first thing we're going to do next week before anything else happens on Storytime Betting School. We're going to answer that question. So let us know if you want to do that from X, from Instagram, from Discord, however you want to do it. Ask Mr. Story questions. I'm sure people have some questions. Also, one thing I want to point out, people always forget about this with futures bets, but don't forget, you make a futures bet on somebody to win the national championship, your money is tied up for 7 months. So it's always a consideration. You're losing that ability to have it in your pocket.
Don't forget that is a good point. And two last things that I'll leave the people with. Number one, don't forget, sports books change the odds, futures odds, quite often based on any number of factors. So you want to make sure you're keeping an eye on that. What's plus 550 today might be plus 450 tomorrow. The other thing is, and we talk about this all the time, it's important to line shop to make sure that you're getting the best price for the wager that you want to place. If you're convinced that the Stanford Cardinal are going to go over their win total this year, and you can get it at minus 110 at one sports book, but it's even money plus 100 at another sports book, you're going to want to definitely make sure that you have that other sports book and place the bet there, because over the long run, you're going to be cutting into your profits if you're not actively searching for the best odds. And that includes futures bets.
Absolutely. That's the most important thing. I shouldn't say it's the most important thing. Risk management is obviously the most important thing, but it's very important to line shop because that is the one thing that you can control. You can't control the outcomes of these games. People don't understand it yet, but you're not actually betting who's going to win tomorrow. You're betting the probabilities that somebody's going to win tomorrow, or the probabilities somebody's going to win the national championship. That is just what sports betting is. Maybe we'll go into some of that stuff in future story time. I love it, man. I'm going to bring my popcorn next time. I forgot it this time, but I appreciate that segment, Story. We're definitely going to keep that going. Any questions, you let the show know. We're going to get the questions of Story, and he's going to answer them next week. He was talking about the national championship, so I'll quote you some of those odds real quick. Texas plus 550, Ohio State plus 550. Those are the two front runners. Already mentioned them. Another Big Ten team plus 700. Penn State, you guessed it, Mr. James Franklin, getting 700 off his 100 bet if he takes his team to the Natty and wins it. Georgia plus 750, Clemson plus 1,000. Alabama, I mentioned this in the intro. I don't know if you heard the intro story. I'm sure you listened to it. I think you told me you listened to it. But Alabama's plus 1,000. Man, those are some long odds for an Alabama football team that's usually plus 300, 400, 500, maybe double that this year because they're not doing great. Notre Dame and Oregon round out the rest of them, plus 1,200 for ND, and then the Ducks sitting plus 1,300. Do you like any of those, Story?
I mean, how do you not take an Alabama team when you're getting plus 1,000? When was the last time that they were four digits to start this season?
I'm not taking Bama. No way. At Washington, yes. Mr. His name is Taylor DeBoer. He could do well at Washington. He hasn't proven anything at Alabama. I just think that when Saban left, that program was kind of doomed. Saban saw the writing on the wall, got out, made a good decision, in my opinion. I'm not taking Bama. I'll let you waste your money over there. Give it to the sports books. You know I'm taking the Ducks if I got to take anybody at plus 1,300, but that's not the team I'm taking. I'm taking Texas plus 550. I got them at, well, I trade on swaps now, so what I trade is a little bit different, but I got them at about 13% chance to win the national championship. Happy about that. Actually, let me take that back. 15% chance to win the national championship. Happy about that. Good odds on them. So I like Texas. I like Oregon in that list of teams.
Oregon, not bad at 1,300. I mean, Texas is officially entering the Arch Manning era, right? Like two seasons as a backup, which is odd for that pedigree when it comes to the Manning family. He's no stranger to going under center or going in shotgun. Last year, he went 61 of 90 for 939 yards and 13 total touchdowns. So the man, he's a man, knows how to play. And I don't think we have to be worried about Steve Sarkisian at all. The guy can work his magic. He's always got one of the top-ranked recruiting classes. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Ohio State. And as much as I don't like Ryan Day, he's built a stacked program there, led by two outstanding receivers in Jeremiah Smith and Kate Tarnell. You got two running backs there, both eclipse 1,000 yards in their respective seasons, tacked on double-digit touchdowns. I think Ohio State is going to be neck and neck with Texas all season long.
See, now, if I'm going to go Big Ten other than Oregon, and Oregon, I don't think their probability is higher than winning of winning the Big Ten than Ohio State or Penn State for that matter. I like that 1300 number. I don't think that 1300 number is correct. But if I was going to pick somebody up there in the top tier, I'd actually go with Penn State just because of the returning talent they got. I mean, how often do you see two running backs in the same system come back for their senior year? Like Singleton, and well, actually, I don't know if Allen's a senior. I think one of them is junior.
Catron Allen?
Yeah. Catron Allen and
Nick Singleton. I believe he is, yeah.
Yeah. But nonetheless, you got two running backs that are both fantastic talent. You know, they're going to break records left and right, and they're playing on the same team. And then you got Drew Aller coming back for Penn State. I know you don't like James Franklin, but to be fair, you don't like any coach in the NCAA football. So that doesn't really count. I just think that Penn State is going to be a really good football team. If you want to take a shot on the Big Ten, that's probably where I put my money, just because that 550 on Ohio State, I don't know if that's a great number, but I can see where your line of thinking is.
Well, don't forget, Penn State did lose probably the best college football player of all time in Mr. Tyler Warren. He went to the NFL, and that is a specific nod to one individual who is not on this podcast this evening.
No, and that's a bold statement for anybody listening, but it's really not. He's got a little bit of joking tone to that from our fantasy football league. But nonetheless, he was a fantastic tight end. He did everything. You can't even call him a tight end. He's like a utility player. He's playing in the NFL, Mr. Story.
That's correct. He is now with the Indianapolis Colts. And if you're listening to this and you play NFL fantasy football, he is screaming up draft boards. He's no longer a sleeper, but I'm definitely targeting him in every league that I'm in. He can get him late in the 10th, 11th round as the tight end 12 off the board, something along those lines. And I think he's going to continue the run of rookie tight ends coming into the NFL and just dominating. But just moving on, what are your thoughts on Clemson this year? If we also kind of move over to the ACC championship, ACC conference, as Clemson sitting at a brusque plus 105. What do you think of Dabo Sweeney's squad down there?
I think they're going to do very well. I think they're, I mean, I'm barely confident they're going to win the ACC. They got a clean road to the college football playoff. I was actually having a conversation with somebody about their futures odds specifically in the national championship, and they were plus 1,000. The reason those odds are so short is because they have an easy path to get to the playoffs. They don't have to play these schedules that the SEC and, you know, Big Ten teams have to play. So their path to get there is much easier. When your path to get there is easier, that means the probability that you do get there is higher. That means your chances of winning the national championship are higher. But still, we're talking about sports betting. If you ask me to bet Clemson, a team, any team for that matter, to win their conference at plus 105, I'm not touching that, Mr. Story.
No, it's not very good value. I mean, Clemson is the presumptive favorite. Well, not the presumptive. They are the favorite, the presumptive winner of the ACC championship for a reason. You've got Cade Klubnik there, who is probably going to vie with Arch Manning to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft next year. He's a really good quarterback. There's a lot of hype there. A lot of hype with Clemson. Now, I'm not opposed to taking a shot with Miami if Carson Beck, who transferred over from Georgia, if he looks like the 2023 version of Carson Beck instead of the 2024 version. I understand other teams like SMU and Louisville, they're not going away, but there's a reason those are in the 800s, 900s. I think Miami has an outside shot to take down Clemson this year.
Yeah, you might be right. There's no way I'm betting on Miami, though. You know I don't respect that program. It's not my favorite. We're going to find out how good they are when they play Notre Dame on, you know, week one. That's going to be a good football game. We didn't talk about that. I don't know if we'll get to talk about it, but Miami, Florida, just not a team I'm betting on. Where do you want to jump next? Big Ten, SEC? We are kind of going long, so we got to go.
Yeah, let's go over to Big Ten. I think we kind of discussed that already. Is there anybody else that you see down the road? I mean, Iowa, right? You got to figure Iowa's in the mix.
Well, I already put my Iowa national championship bet in, so I can't put too much on them because, you know, I can't put too much on them. But no, as far as the Big Ten goes, I wouldn't take anybody outside of Oregon, Penn State, or Ohio State. I don't think anybody else has the horses. Oregon, I wish they were a little longer. They're sitting around plus 360 last I checked. So I just don't want to bet them because I just don't think that number is good enough. Penn State plus 220. I mean, that's not far enough away from that 195 of Ohio State. So why would I bet Penn State in that circumstance? I might as well just go to the, you know, futures for the national championship and do Penn State there that we just talked about. So no one I'm looking at in that conference.
Yeah, nothing really stands out. I would say that if Michigan drops to above plus 1,000 or right at there, might be worth a sprinkle. You just have to see how Underwood plays this year. Moving on, SEC, we kind of talked about several teams in this as well. Do you see any value in the SEC, a conference that let's be realistic. They took a bit of a step back last year.
Oh, they absolutely did. And anybody that says they were the best conference, in the nation last year is completely wrong. I mean, it's not subjective at this point. But if I'm going to pick who's going to win the SEC this year, I'm probably going to try to stay away from Texas, Georgia, Alabama, and just go, throw my long shot, throw it on LSU or whoever you want to pick, just because, I mean, the numbers at 270, 330, and 380, they're not that great. They're really not that great. So I remember I bet LSU, it's been a few years now, to win the SEC championship, and they're around that plus 700 number. They came through for me, and that was one of the bigger bets I made as far as futures. So LSU may be somebody I would look at, but I haven't put any money on them.
Well, I'd be interested to see what Oklahoma's sitting at to win the SEC. That's a team that really kind of stumbled multiple paths along the way last year, but they've got Washington State quarterback Jon Mateer, who came in. We talked about some dual threat quarterbacks earlier in the program. Jon Mateer is both a playmaker in the pass game and on the ground. So if that is if Oklahoma can kind of shore things up a little bit. Now, I know that it's a rough road when you're talking Texas, Georgia, Alabama, and LSU, but maybe Oklahoma's got some spark that we're not sure of yet.
Hey, I that 2800, they're sitting, to answer your question, they're sitting plus 2800 right now. So that's, I mean, that's not a bad number. They're definitely somebody that could compete. Obviously, we've seen them compete for a number of years, but the past 2 years, I'll say they haven't been so great since they got to the SEC. And then while you're having me look at that, I looked at Ole Miss, who's at plus 1600, which that's another intriguing bet. I don't know. There's some intriguing bets over there in the SEC. But again, I think it all comes down to we're talking the same thing. I think you got to drop out of those top three if you're going in the SEC. You got to go to someone other than Texas, Georgia, or Bama.
Yeah, I've got nothing against Lane Kiffin other than I think he's kind of an idiot. But he does put a good program on the field sometimes. The big question there is the quarterback. Austin Simmons is a relative unknown. You're talking a sophomore starting there. So that one concerns me a little bit. Let's wrap it up though. Big 12. We had talked about several of these teams, well, at least one of these teams in Kansas State. They are the favorite to win, but it's plus 550, and they're tied with Arizona State at plus 550. So there's not an overwhelming favorite in this conference like there was with the ACC or the Big Ten.
Yeah, and I'm a Utah guy, so if I'm going to bet the Big 12, I'm going to bet Utah. Again, I usually bet them in the Pac-12 and have been successful with them a couple times. So you give me a plus 600 number on a Utah football team, Kyle Willingham over there as the coach still, I'm taking that Utah plus 600. So finally, we went through this whole episode. I can finally tell you something that I'm taking that I actually do have money on. So Utah plus 600 for the Big 12.
Yeah, I would have actually jumped on Texas Tech. I thought that number would drop. They unfortunately lost their starting stud running back, Quentin Joyner, to an ACL tear in preseason or in fall camp there. So they're going to throw out Jacoby Williams. He's probably in the starter, but Cameron Dickey's going to mix in. I would have thought that that would have dropped a little bit, but it really hasn't moved much at all. If Texas Tech had fallen to the 800s, 850, 900 range, I could see taking a stab at them, but not what it is right now. They do have a good quarterback there in Baron Morton.
Yeah, and you mentioned how the odds didn't drop on that. The reason is because there's so much juice in these multi-way markets. You talked about them. You were giving us the information there in our story time with futures bets. There's so much juice in these multi-way markets that they don't have to move that line too much if a star gets hurt. We've seen it with some big players too in the past that have gotten hurt week one or week two. The odds didn't change a whole lot for futures like conference or national championship just because there's so much juice baked in there. They don't have to if they don't want to. So they keep it the same. But Mr. Story, we laid through there. We made it. It's going a little long, but we didn't do our conference preview. We didn't do any of that at the beginning of the year. So I think it's okay we went a little long.
Yeah, we'll try to keep it a little more succinct because we have a lot of games to cover in week one and going forward week in and week out. Of course, you're planning to have several guests on, so I won't be on every week. I'll try to be on as much as I can. I got a lot of knowledge to impart, but I'm looking forward to some guests and maybe some newbies we're gonna have on this year.
Yeah, I love it. Can't wait to get some new perspectives. Before we go, though, I got to put your, feet to the fire. It's not a real week. I'm not going to make it count for your real pick 'em. And it doesn't count on your record of never losing a game on the college football rundown pick 'em. But you got to take somebody. We're going to do head to head, me versus you. Who are you taking this week? You got to take a spread or an over under.
I will go. This one is, you said spread, right? I don't have to be locked into my usual overs here.
No, you can do spread if you want. I assumed you'd do a total, but you can
I'm
do a
just
spread if you want.
I'm being facetious because the people know that I do like my overs. I'm gonna go with I had it earlier. Where did it go? There it is. Yep, we'll go with the luck of the Irish. I'm gonna take the Kansas State and I'm gonna give the points, the 2.5.
Kansas State giving 2.5. All right,
Just
I
wanted to
got
double check that, make sure I still got it correctly. Yep, 2.5. Perfect. That's where I'm going this week
All right, story
for our warm-up.
for our warm. It doesn't count on the standings. Don't worry, it's just practice. We gotta, we everybody's got to warm up, right? You can't jump right into the fire. Mine, I actually came up with as we were talking, and the man who knows what he's talking about convinced me. I'm going Western Kentucky minus 10, Mr. Story.
Oh, okay. Hilltoppers.
Hilltoppers, thank you for giving me that one. So if I lose, I can blame it on you. If I win, I can take the credit. It's beautiful. Works both ways.
I love it.
Well, I appreciate you joining me, Mr. Story. Very excited you're going to be on the rundown quite often this season. Very excited for some of the future guests we got coming up. I'm really excited for your new story time, section, if we can call it that, going forward in the year, because I think some of the fans, they're not the most hardcore bettors, but they know what they're talking about. So if we can keep it to explaining something, to a lower level and a higher level, that'd be great. I think you did a fantastic job today. So I hope going forward we can make some money, give the people what they want, and I appreciate you being on your story.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm looking forward to it as well. Don't go wild week one, people, or week zero in this case. It's a long season. But thanks again, Walt. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem. Stay sharp, bettors.